My name is Kinsey Milhone. I'm a private detective, female, age 37, with my 38th birthday coming up in a month. Having been married and divorced twice, I'm now happily single and expect to remain so for life. I work solo out of a rented bungalow in Santa Teresa, California, a town of roughly 85,000 souls. Most of my clients reach me by referral, and their business ranges from background checks to process serving, with countless other matters in between. My office is off the beaten path, and I seldom have a client appear unannounced. So when I heard a tapping at the door to my outer office, I got up and peered around the corner to see who it was. Through the glass, I saw a young man pointing at the knob. I'd apparently turned the deadbolt to the locked position when I'd come back from lunch. I let him in, saying, "Sorry about that. I must have locked up after myself without being aware of it." "You're Ms. Milhone?" "Yes." "Michael Sutton," he said, extending his hand. "Do you have time to talk?" We shook hands. "Sure. Can I offer you a cup of coffee?"
"No, thanks. I'm fine."
I ushered him into my office while I registered his appearance in a series of quick takes. Slim, lank brown hair with a sheen to it, worn long on top and cut short over his ears. Solemn brown eyes, complexion as clear as a baby's. There was a prep school air about him, deck shoes without socks, sharply creased chinos, and a short-sleeve white dress shirt he wore with a tie. He had the body of a boy, narrow shoulders, narrow hips, and long, smooth arms. He looked young enough to be carded if he tried to buy booze. I couldn't imagine what sort of problem he'd have that would require my services. I returned to my swivel chair, and he settled in the chair on the other side of the desk. I glanced at my calendar, wondering if I'd set up an appointment and promptly forgotten it. He noticed the visual reference and said, "Detective Phillips at the police department gave me your name and address. I should have called first, but your office was close by. I hope this isn't an inconvenience." "Not at all," I said. "My first name's Kinsey, which you're welcome to use. You prefer Michael or Mike?" "Most people call me Sutton. In my kindergarten class, there were two other Michaels, so the teacher used our last names to distinguish us. Boorman, Sutton, and Troutwine, like a law firm. We're still friends." "Where was this?"
"Klimp,"
I said. "Ah, I should have guessed as much. Klimping Academy is the private school in Horton Ravine, K through 12. Tuition starts at 12 grand for the little tykes and rises incrementally through the upper grades. I don't know where it tops out, but you could probably pick up a respectable college education for the same price. All the students enrolled there referred to it as Klimp, as though the proper appellation was just like so beside the point. Watching him, I wondered if my blue-collar roots were as obvious to him as his upper-class status was to me. "Are you a California native?" I asked him.
"Yes, ma'am. I grew up in Horton Ravine. My family lived on Via Inez until I went off to college. I lived a couple of other places, but now I'm back."
"You still have family here?" His hesitation was one of those nearly imperceptible blips that indicates internal editing.
"My parents are gone. I have two older brothers, both married with two kids each, and an older sister who's divorced. We're not on good terms. We haven't been for years."
I let that pass without comment, being better acquainted with family estrangement than I cared to admit. Sutton touched the knot in his tie.
"I know you're busy, so I'll get to the point. I hope you'll bear with me. The story might sound weird."
"Weird stories are the best kind. So, fire away," I said.
"I don't know if you saw this, but a couple of weeks ago, there was an article in the newspaper about famous kidnappings. Marion Parker, the 12-year-old girl who was abducted in 1927, the Lindbergh baby in 32, another kid named Eaton Potts. Ordinarily, I don't read things like that, but what caught my attention was the case here in town. You're talking about Mary Claire Fitzhugh, 1967. You remember her?
Sure.
I'd just graduated from high school. Little 4-year-old girl taken from her parents' home in Horton Ravine. The Fitzhughs agreed to pay the ransom, but the money was never picked up, and the child was never seen again.
Exactly. The thing is, when I saw the name Mary Claire Fitzhugh, I had this flash, something I hadn't thought about for years.
He clasped his hands together and squeezed them between his knees.
When I was a little kid, I was playing in the woods, and I came across these two guys digging a hole. I remember seeing a bundle on the ground a few feet away. At the time, I didn't understand what I was looking at, but now I believe it was Mary Claire's body and they were burying her.
I said, "You actually saw the child?" He shook his head.
"She was wrapped in a blanket so I couldn't see her face or anything else."
I studied him with interest. "What makes you think it was Mary Claire? That's a big leap."
"Because I went back and checked the old newspaper accounts, and the dates line up."
"What dates?"
"Oh, sorry. I should have mentioned this before. She was kidnapped on July 19th, which was a Wednesday. I saw the guys on Friday, July 21st, 1967, my birthday, the year I turned 6. That's how I made the association. I think she was already dead by then, and they were getting rid of the body."